Welcome back to part two of Next on the Tee. We're not done yet. Coming up, more stories, more insight, and more reasons to love this game. Let's dive right back in. Part two starts now, right here on Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better.
Hey, Next on the Tee Nation, thank you so much for coming back and pressing play on part two of this week's show, featuring my conversation with Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher Scott Monroe. Now, Scott's a fantastic guy. You don't get into the top 100 on accident. You'll understand just why he is inside that top 100 through the course of the conversation. Scott grew up in Indiana. He is a Hoosier and a third. Now, going back to part one of the show, right? James Hong. Scott Monroe is, I guess, half what you would say of the Hoosiers to make up two Hoosiers and a Hong. Thank you, Jeff Smith. Looking forward to getting the three of those. I hope they get together at the PGA Merchandise Show and actually do a show. I would be front row center for the three of those guys getting together and doing a podcast show down there. Hopefully, maybe one time we'll get all three of them at the same time. I don't know if a show can handle those three guys here on Next on the Tee at one time. We'll maybe test it out. We'll see. As I've gotten to know Scott and know people around him, I understand his nickname as Money Monroe. Now, Jeff Smith tells me his nickname is 99, and Scott will share that story, how he got that nickname, through the course of the conversation. We'll also take a look inside. He is a teacher during the summertime up at Nantucket Golf Club, one of the most exclusive in the country. He'll give us a little glimpse inside at the golf course, which was designed by our good friend Reese Jones. We'll learn a little bit about it from Scott through the course of the conversation. Bill Belichick is a member there. Jack Welch, while he was alive, was a member there. So you'll hear a few of those stories. We'll also talk about his style as a junior instructor. Like Ava Rogers talked to us about a few months ago, Scott teaches the game backwards, from the green back towards the tee, which I think is genius on both of their parts. We also talk about what a close-knit industry golf is and how the great instructors share their tips and their styles and their processes with one another, which I think is very interesting and very unique to golf. Scott also shares a tip for the rest of us that live north of Florida, how we can keep our golf swings limber and the rust off of them over this wintertime, some drills that we can do in the backyard or around the house. So Scott's fantastic. You're really going to love him. Sit back, relax. Let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next 30 minutes or so. Okay, but before we get into all of those great stories and insights, I want to remind you about our friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2, UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Sure, this is golf, but so is this, and this, and this is definitely golf, and so is this. Hey, that's not golf. Oh wait, yeah, it is. And no matter what your golf is, you're gonna need a store. No, a superstore. A place to get fit for a new club and walk out with it the same day. A place to find the perfect fit. A place to do whatever this is, because this is golf, and this is golf's superstore.
Now next on the tee with me is Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher and one of Golf Digest top teachers as well, Scott Monroe. Scott has been named a Top 100 teacher every year since 2009. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana, studied right here in Georgia, where my daughter got her undergraduate degree at Georgia Southern. You can find Scott in the summer up at Nantucket Golf Club and during the winter down at the Boca Resort Hotel. Scott and I also share the same birthday, so we've got a lot of synergies, and I couldn't be more excited. He is back with me again this week right here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, it's great. It was great to hear the Hongster. You know, we're still trying to work on two Hoosiers and the Hong, with Jeff Smith. So it's interesting to be around people like that. I'm really lucky. I've got a couple of groups of people, and kind of the way I'm teaching now is I'll send videos of a tour pro or a really good amateur or even just a member. And it's always nice to hear what two or three people have to say. And it's kind of like going to a specialist. And when you hear some of your other peers say stuff, and sometimes it agrees, sometimes it doesn't, and you see something that you don't see, it's a great way to teach. I've had a lot of results with that.
And that's fantastic. I got to go back to where you started, though. Are we going to get two Hoosiers and a Hong at the PGA Merchandise Show in January?
We're working on it now, yep. We tried to do it at the Top 100 Summit, but again, it might be too much for them. I mean, this is a big time thing where, you know, a lot of people, like the coach at IU saying right now, it's in the old coach at Alabama said, sometimes high performance people only like to be around high performance people, and low performance people don't like to be around high performance people. They find it obnoxious. So we'll see.
All right, so turnaround is fair play, because at the end there, I asked Honger about his favorite Scott Monroe story. What's your favorite James Hong story?
Well, it's funny. It's my favorite story because I had one of my old friends I played the Australian PGA Tour with. Actually, he got me into Australia on the tour. And he had a girl from Poland who was over the exchange student. She was like 14 and she's, you know, 6 foot. She took up golf. She was like the number one fencer in Poland and her sister. And to make a long story short, he calls me. And the minute I find that out, I'm the first thing I'm going to do is I'm on the phone with him. Like, okay, this girl fences. And, you know, we started talking about fencing, and I heard what he talked to you about the gun thing, but the fencing thing's the same way. And I think, and Jeff Smith too, you know, he was a basketball player in Indiana. I was a hockey player, football player. So when you take other sports, and that's why I called him, because I don't know anything about fencing. And he started telling me, you know, things. And I like to use what people do as examples, like, you know, what have you done before? You know, play the piano. Okay, we'll talk about that. I'm a pilot. Okay, we'll talk about being a pilot or something like that. So he really helped me along with this girl. And, I just always had questions about fencing, and she was very impressed. Her English was pretty good. She's from Poland, but she was impressed that I knew about fencing. So I think that was great that he helped me with that.
Jeff was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he told me your nickname is 99. Now I've heard you referred to as Money Monroe, but never 99. What's 99?
Oh God. So when I was at Nantucket Golf, when I first started Nantucket Golf Club, you know, people say, you know, oh, you're in the top 100, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of the really good players say, what, you're in the top 100? What are you, 99th? So the next thing I know, I mean, I'm down in Florida, walk around, they go, hey, 99. People are calling me 99. I don't even know them. So that's how Maxwell Smart, agent 99. There it is.
There you go. Scott, like I mentioned in your intro, you're up at Nantucket Golf Club in the summertime. That is one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. Jack Welch was reported to be a member there and lived off the fourth tee before he passed. Bill Belichick is also reported to be a member there. It's designed by our good friend Reese Jones. But for those of us who will never get an opportunity to see inside those gates and to check out that golf course, talk about what it's like.
Well, Sanctity is a great place. And, you know, it's funny. My Jack story was, and he won't admit it, though. One of my friends was taught at his university in D.C. And you know, when this goes way back, they used to just take the Boca Hotel for like 20 years. They'd rent it out for 4 days right around New Year's and right after. So when he was in there, I got to play with him, and, you know, I think he was getting ready to retire, you know, a year or two that. And I said, you know, when you retire, your handicap's going to go up. And he's, you know, cussing me out and stuff. Who do you know? Who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, and it did. The reason is, you know, and I think Dan Quayle, I told him the same thing. I've given him some lessons back in Indiana. And when you have a job, you have a job, and then your handicap is that. And then when you get out, you say, well, now that I'm going to really try, and I'm going to get my handicap lower. And what happens is a lot of high-end people try too hard instead of just playing. So, but Jack was great. I mean, super guy, loved to play golf, and he just had some, you know, physical issues in the end.
When I was talking with Reese Jones recently, he mentioned that the 18th hole there is a pretty tough par five to end a round on. From your perspective, is it a tough finishing hole?
Yeah, it's a great, it's a very tough finishing hole because if you don't get, it's a hill. It's kind of like playing Augusta. If you're a long hitter, it's not as hard because you get that downslope. So, you know, Augusta, it's the same thing. That's why they said Augusta is always, you know, for long hitters. But if you can hit it down the hill, which I can't. So either it would have been on top of the hill or the bottom of the hill, not halfway down the hill. But then on the second shot, it's a green. It's a really great hole.
Earlier this summer, I had Eva Rogers on the show, and she teaches at Medina. And she was talking about teaching her junior players to play the game backwards, starting on the green and then gradually moving further and further back, which helps them develop their short game and creativity for different shots. And as I recall from the last time you were on the show, you do something similar with that, right, with your students?
Yeah, it's funny. This is going back to what you and Honger were talking about too, is I've got a couple of kids that are trying to get on tour, and the first thing I asked them on the phone, and they were people set me up with them. I said, how far do you hit a 7-iron? How far do you hit a driver? It's so hard nowadays. At least I don't know about the women, but the men, if you don't hit it a long way. So I teach them to hit, I want them to hit the long way from the get go. And then after they can do that, and it's about wedges and putters. So we spend a lot of time, and I teach kids to chip in. I mean, I had one tour pro the other day. He had a great short game too. I said, so what's your goal here? I want to get it close. I go, get it close. You want to chip it in? And he looked at me kind of funny. And I chipped a couple in, and then he started getting the hang of it. And he ended up chipping a couple in the tour school. The first round he missed, but he had a really bad hole and he chipped one in, or it would have been a worse hole. So, you know, teaching kids to chip in and teaching kids to putt really well, no matter how their golf swings are down the road, they can always rely on that because, you know, it's not a long-term thing, but the scorecard it's an equalizer. So let's say you have some kids that aren't real long hitters, girls or boys, and they can still compete with people that are, because if you're good inside 100 yards, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good for your scorecard.
Indeed. But let's go back to that chipping it in thing. I think most of us have the mindset that we want to chip it close. How do you teach people to chip it in?
That's a great question. You practice chipping it in, and it's very time consuming. When I was, I don't know, this is back in the 70s, but, you know, I think I read a golf magazine, and I put a, you know, I always see this. I always laugh when I see people put a 3-foot circle around the hole, or these, you know, the circle is the hole. So I would sit there and I'd chip it close and move balls. So I had a mailman that he was just like a savant, and this kid guy was the club champion or a club in a little public course in Indianapolis. And he came by and says, so what are you doing? I said, well, I'm chipping it inside the circle. He says, chipping it inside the circle? Well, you'll never beat me doing that. He was a club champion. I was, you know, in high school, I thought I was, you know, trying to get up there. And so he literally chipped 2 in a row. He goes, when you can learn to chip like that, you might have a chance someday of beating me on the golf course. I was so mad. And he says, oh, by the way, don't leave here until you chip in 3. 3.5 hours later. But over the years, that become a habit. And there are certain people on tour. Tiger, Corey Pavin, that you'd be surprised. And some, there's a lot of others, some, you know, Annika, that chip in a lot. And it's not an accident. It's not like, oh gosh, I chipped in, I can't believe it. Well, that's what they're trying to do. And if you do try to chip in, you don't chip in, you're inside a 3-foot circle. So if you hit a pretty good chip and your goal is in inside a 3-foot circle and you're 3.5 or 4 feet, now they start using the Vegas odds. Okay, you have a 50-50 chance to make this if you're an 18, blah, blah, blah handicap. But it's the same thing with hole-in-one. I've had 11 hole-in-ones official, and I've had students, probably about 35 or 36, that have had hole-in-ones. And I've studied people that have had hole-in-ones, and it's the law of averages. It's not lucky. If you play a lot of golf, you hit the ball a certain distance, you hit it pretty straight, your goal is on par 3s is to hole out. And the Tigers had a ton. I'm not sure how many. And I had a late friend that just passed away on the Australian tour, and he had like 30. And I don't know what the records are, but I've met people that have had, you know, 20, 30, 40. And that, but when they get on a par 3, that's their goal. I'm going to hold this out. Now, if that's your goal and you play a lot of golf and you hit it pretty straight, that can happen. And the people that have never had a hole in one, I says, were you trying to make a hole in one? They go, no. Oh, okay. So there might be a little smoke and mirrors there, but there could be something there also that maybe that's why they do it. I don't know.
You did a teaching video with another recent guest, Mike Malizia, about the most common swing flaws that you see that we amateurs have. What do you see that most of us are doing wrong?
Well, unfortunately, the problem is it's like there's 3 or 4 things that most amateurs do. And most of the information out there has nothing to do with anybody. It has to do with the 10 percentile. And I was just talking to somebody the other day. Some of the best teachers in the world, it's, you know, tour pros. Well, most amateurs are more of a, you know, going back to what Dr. Wright does and Mike Adams and stuff, upper core. Most people try to hit it with their body and they don't learn to train their arms, wrist, and hands. So when you can train your arms, wrist, and hands on what to do and let your body support that and be good at impact. And a lot of times what we see a lot is, you know, people are trying to, you know, turn their hips, which going back to Jack Nicklaus, I remember back in the day reading the magazines and the books and all the top teachers. Oh, look how Jack Nicklaus turns his left hip. Well, he never thought of that. He says, I never think about turning my left hip. He's swinging his arms down fast enough where his left hip turns. And most amateurs can get a lot more from letting the arm swing turn the body than trying to get the body to turn the arm swing. And it's pretty simple. So I know a lot of times when people have gone to certain places for lessons, I don't even have to see them. I said, I know what you're doing already. I tell them over the phone and they're like, oh, how'd you know that? I said, well, it was a lucky guess.
Scott, one of the things that I love about the golf community, and you were alluding to this earlier about Hunger and You, is how you and your peers work together to help each other with what you've learned. It goes on with the guys on tour as well. I can't tell you how many times Gary Player and I have talked about how he and Jack and Arnold and Lee Trevino would teach each other things when they saw that one of them was going poorly. And in many industries, people try to hoard ideas and innovation, but that doesn't seem to be true in the golf industry. Talk about why that is.
I think everybody's a camaraderie. And again, you know, it's funny you mention that. When I got my Australian tour card in 1987, I couldn't believe, you know, how much help I got on the tee. But the problem was I was going person to person. I was given more lessons than I was getting. And I was the one that needed the lessons. I mean, I didn't even know how I got there. But it was kind of funny that, you know, getting a putting lesson from Ian Baker Finch, getting, you know, David Graham helping me, you know, Harry, want to go play 9 holes with me? I'm like, oh, yeah. And just it's interesting you say that, because I think golf is a lot better than tennis because it's a group thing, where I've given Jimmy Connors a lot of lessons. And, you know, in tennis, it's totally different because you're trying to beat individuals. You know, it's a one-on-one thing, where golf's more of a, you know, you're beating the golf course more. At the end of the day, you're beating the golf course. So it's really interesting on that. And I think too, you know, you can't be friends with everybody, but you'll have, you know, 2 or 3 people in your group. And those are the people you hang around with. And those are the people you learn from and teach, and the caddies as well. You know, the caddies are probably some of the best teachers in the world because they're seeing it all on tour, that is.
Scott, for all of us that live north of Florida, and as winter starts to set in now, and we're not going to be able to get out and play as much, what are some drills that we can do either in the backyard or inside to keep our swings from getting rusty over the winter?
Well, I think I heard 10 million simulators are out there now. I don't know if that numbers are true, but, you know, simulators are like color TVs used to be back in the day when they were big and expensive, and now they're getting not so expensive, and you're able to put, you know, a net up in your garage and a screen and hit balls and then get feedback and go, oh, I sliced that. I'm going to move my left hand over. Oh, I didn't slice it. I think the simulator, you know, especially northern schools that do really well, the simulator business is booming. and a lot of these universities that are cold weather universities, especially ones that are academia, where, you know, they're not taking a lot of trips to Florida, but, you know, just holding the golf club area, putting, chipping, swinging a golf club, the speed sticks. I like Jeff and I just did a golf school out in Flagstaff with Kelly Stenzel. And he's like, he's got all kinds of stuff. But my last article I wrote in Golf Magazine was about impact bags. I put bubble wrap in them. So you actually send them. I don't like the impact bags with heavy stuff in them, like towels. You can hurt yourself, but being able to send a bag with he used a rope, like a line that you would tie a ship up with, and getting speed. And that's the best thing. I mean, when I was in Indiana, I was at a public driving range. We sold shoes, and I would just go out and shovel snow off the mat, hit some balls, and go back inside and come back in. I know Jack Nicklaus would hit balls at Scioto, and then he would go down, lucky enough, I think he'd go down to North Miami to LaGorse, you know, once a month. But then they'd try to find all the balls in the spring when the snow melted. So, you know, nothing beats hitting balls, you know, any way you can do it.
So, Scott, as we look ahead to 2026, you have some goals. Are there some things that you're working towards? Do you put goals out there for the new year?
Oh, big time. Getting better shape. You know, Jeff and Kelly took me, when we're out in Arizona, we're going over some mountains. So I think they thought they're going to call 911 on me. So getting in golf shape, getting your legs up. Also, I teach several other things besides golf. So, I mean, to be a better teacher, I think you have to have empathy for learning something new. And the really, really good teachers can learn anything, you know, learn the fundamentals. And just keeping abreast of all the modern, you know, all the new stuff coming along, and being able to know, yeah, that's going to work. No, that's definitely not going to work. Especially if I've tried it and my students have tried it. So just to become a better teacher. What about you?
For me,
what's your handicap? What are we going to do with your handicap and your?
Well, you know, so right now my handicap is a boot on my right leg as I try to heal up from my second ankle replacement surgery in the last 10 months. So
I'm so glad it's on your right and not your left. So we can put all your weight. We'll post you up on your left leg and you can definitely practice your wedges.
Indeed. So that's, you know, my goal is I've got a short range and a long range, right? So short range is to be able to walk around at the PGA merchandise show like a normal person. So that's what I'm working towards right now. And then, you know, I haven't been able to play golf in about, you know, a year and a half. It'll probably be 2 years by the time springtime gets around here. So trying to find my golf swing again and to be able to, you know, play, you know, semi-normally. That's, you know, I got to put a golf swing back together that really hasn't been utilized in 2 years. So those are my two goals.
And, you know, it's funny because I had some surgery on my right knee. And while I was doing that, I just, you know, spending time on your short game. And once you can start hitting it better, you know, you can putt with all your weight on your left foot. You can chip and pitch with all your weight in your left foot. So, you know, just chipping around the house for you, I think would be really good. And then that'll just get you so excited when you can start hitting the ball again that you're heck and shoot a score too, because I've been chipping and putting for a while. So
indeed,
that'll be good.
Indeed. Scott, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether they're following you online or it's on social media.
I'm at the Boca Resort Hotel, and this is going to be my 27th year. And it's scottmonroegolf.com and Scott Monroe Golf.
Well, Scott, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of this show. You and Hunger and Jeff Smith, three of my favorite people in our industry. I hope we get to spend some time with you again before too long.
Yeah, Chris, can't wait. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
You do a great job. Thank you.
Take care, Scott. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's the great Scott Monroe, folks. I tell you what, you know, you take the trio, two Hoosiers and a Hung. I've been, you know, trying to get that group together for a PGA merchandise show. I mean, those guys on center stage don't get any better than that. But be sure to give Scott a follow at Scott Monroe Golf. And Monroe is spelled M-U-N-R-O-E is the spelling of his last name. And folks, if you're anywhere near Boca Raton, Florida, if you're in Southeast Florida, you need to go over and spend some time with Scott this winter. You know, you want to emerge from this winter playing the best golf that you possibly can. Scott Moreau is going to get you there. So follow him on social media. Go check him out over at the Boca Resort Hotel. And hopefully we get two Hoosiers and a Hong at the PGA Merchandise Show and get Scott back on the show before too long. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks go out again to Sean McKeel, James Hong, and Scott Monroe for joining me. Scheduled to join me next week are my great friend and longtime host of the Talking Golf Getaways podcast, Mitch Lawrence, will be back. It's always so much fun when Mitch is a part of the show. We'll get our monthly visit from the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters, plus a long overdue return visit from one of the top instructors in our game, Shane LeBaron, who has some very exciting news to share with all of us. I can't wait for him to share the story next week here on the show. So, folks, it's going to be a great time. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. Folks, for coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triblive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab, and you'll see the most recent episode right there front and center for you on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network. Then you'll see the Next on the Tee logo if you click on that. Many of the most recent episodes from this season are right there for you as well. You can also find this show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, including out on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, GolfNewsNet.com. And folks, a big thank you to all of you, as always, for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate each and every one of you for pressing play and making Next on the Tee a part of your regular golf content. Folks, until we get together again, hit them straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on Trib Live or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.